Hello, my fans, friends. Welcome to the Rich Herring podcast feed, powered by Acast Plus. Thanks to everyone who's come to see the Can I Have My Ball Back tour so far. It's been going really well. I've got a 4-star review in The Standard, 4-star review in The Telegraph, who once called me the worst comedy experience of the year, so that's a turnaround. People have been coming, people have really been enjoying it, and it's getting better and better. The only gigs this week are both in Pocklington, the town I was born in, near York. There's a couple of tickets left for the evening show and a few more tickets left for the matinee, I think about 4:30. But love to see you there, Yorkshire. Pop along. Check richardherring.com/ballback/tour or richardherring.com/gigs to see if I'm coming near to you. There are tickets left for nearly every show in the tour. I think Norwich has sold out. And a couple of gigs in London could do with your support as well. Anyway, please listen to the podcast. Do spread the news about the podcast to your friends. Listen as much as you can. Numbers are slightly down, which may affect the future of this podcast. So just leave it playing, even if you're not in the room. Love you. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy whatever it is you're going to listen to.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hello, welcome to Rich Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Rich Herring. Vic Reeves is on this week. That should be amazing. I haven't done it yet. I'm saying this before it's recorded. So if it isn't amazing, sorry. That was me doing an impression of Miranda Hart from when she was in Not Going Out. I know you recognised it. We didn't need to say. If you like these podcasts and want to help us make some more, go to gofasterstripe.com/badges. Either buy a badge. You can get a one-off or a monthly badge. Or you can just buy a DVD or something, or a book, preferably of mine. Don't buy the Stuart Lee ones. That is all I ask you, please. Please, someone, think of the children. Anyway, let's sit back and listen to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Leicester Square Theatre. Please welcome a man who, even though it happened months ago, is still really upset about the whole Euro referendum thing. It's Richard Herring! Hello, welcome to Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast. I was down at the I was down at the old surfing beach where they go surf. Some of the cool kids go surfing there, and they were calling it, it's in Cornwall. They called it Rehelastapura. So I don't know if that's catching on. So yeah, it's been quite a week here in the past for you people in the future. God knows what's happened in between here and now. I'm just terrified. I mean, you're going to look back and go, why are they talking about that? Don't they know about the nuclear war that wiped out Wales? If only that had happened before the vote. So it's... I'm quite upset about what's happened and scared. Last week's audience, you'll remember we did film them all, so they are all dead now. They've all been killed. Nigel Farage had them killed. Already, it's a terrible thing. The worst thing about the Brexit happening is, because it's Wimbledon this week as well, I've realised there's been unexpected consequences, hasn't it? It means that now no one can do that Andy Murray joke when he gets knocked out of a tournament, says he's Scottish now. That won't work anymore, will it? There's been some terrible consequences. Ian Duncan Smith said our promises were just a series of possibilities. That's very much how I viewed my marriage vows as well. So that is my wife, which is why it is all right to have sex with robots. That is one of the reasons. And I've got a young daughter, as some of you may know, and she really poked me in the eye this morning, like, really badly. That is, it's the worst thing about becoming a father, is the unexpected consequence of becoming a father, is that kids have really sharp nails. I went to kiss my daughter, and she went... like, which has happened to be a lot with women, but it's disappointing. Disappointing when it's my own daughter. Just, and poked me right in the eye, and my eye is in a lot of pain. Do not have... wear a condom, sir. That is the answer to that. So that's an awful thing about children. But anyway, look, we're going to crack straight on, because hopefully we've got a fantastic... hopefully he's there. I mean, he is a fantastic guest. I'm hoping he's ready. He is probably best known... you'll have seen him, I think, on the Virgin Atlantic Airlines onboard safety video. That's why... it was Danny Bear, wasn't it, David? That's him and Danny Bear. That's what he's mostly known from. Will you please welcome Vic Reeves, ladies and gentlemen? He's not here. He's not ready. It's Vic Reeves. He wasn't ready. There he is. Keep him waiting. Come in, sit down. Grab a microphone. Be on the loo. There he is.
No, I wasn't on the loo. I was just sitting there wiping my hands when I heard...
Right, when you heard the introduction. Yeah. I thought, you know, it was a bit quicker than I said I'd be.
Yeah.
But when you arrived, I was doing a poo, weren't you? So that's payback.
Yeah, you were. We all do it.
We do.
Once in our lives, we all do it.
It was my turn. So, do you remember much about the Virgin Atlantic Airlines onboard safety video with Danny Bear? Do you remember that, any funny stories from the,
that,
the, any funny stories the filming that, of that?
Well, I did do that. I did that... Virgin monologue,
yeah,
telling you to take off your high heeled shoes. That was the only thing I remember about.
Okay.
And then my friend Morgana Robinson said, "I've just got the gig doing the." this isn't rehearsed, by the way, is it? I didn't know you were going to ask me this. She said, "I'm doing the voiceover," and that was the first I'd heard about it.
Right.
I said, "They're not using me anymore then."
Oh.
It was quite lucrative, I might add.
Do you get paid for every single time?
Free flights.
Did you?
Actually, they paid me, and then for years, I didn't know they were using me for years later,
right.
And I said, "How about some free flights?" And I got them.
Wow.
Which was great. But as soon as I got that, of course, they got rid of me and got Morgana in. So they didn't, you know. I said, "Do you get the free flight?" Anyway, I said to her, she sent me a text saying, I'm doing it now. And I said, well, good for you. Bad luck for me.
And maybe she'll take
she
you
took
on
it the wrong way, sending texts saying, "Good for you, bad for me."
Yeah.
She took it the wrong way and it sort of kind of sounded a bit rude.
Right. And it's soured your relationship and now.
And we've never worked since. No. But that was a nice little touch. That when you can get a bit of bartering going on, you do a voiceover and you get free flights.
Yeah,
well, that is pretty nice, isn't it?
It is. Well,
I'd like to do something with the Carrot Foundation.
Well, look, there's a lot to talk to you about, Vic Reeves. If that is your real name,
That's what I was christened.
Is it? Yeah, well. we had Bob on, and so it feels like it was the other week, but it was about 2 years ago, before he fell ill and was.
Yeah.
And is he all better now?
It's good. We were on this very stage doing some rehearsals for our tour, and about a week later, he went to the hospital and said, "I'm not feeling that good." I think he just said he was out of breath. And they said, "Get into the hospital tomorrow." And he went and had a triple bypass. Like that. It is funny, isn't it?
It's funny because
he's they're up to me.
It's funny because it's true. It's all right. It is funny because he's all right. He's better.
Good. He's absolutely fit as a fiddle.
Good.
And they said, do some exercise.
Yeah.
So we went on tour.
I mean, it's very stressful going on tour. That was I was when I heard the news. I thought, oh my god, you know, they must cancel.
It's stressful for some people, but not for us.
No, it's a lot of travelling. Even if you're being driven around, it's still annoying. And then you
it's good
running.
Fun, but I like. But, yeah. Well, you can get driven around in a big bus, which is what we did when we first started doing it.
Yeah,
and then you realise you're paying for the bus.
Yeah.
So I said, "Look, an Austin A40. and with a mattress in the back. And that'll do us. And what I say is, we're at somewhere like Sheffield, and I look on the map and see where's interesting around Sheffield. What interesting places are there we can go and visit? And Bob at breakfast has this miserable look on his face, like, oh, he's going to fucking drag me around to some one of these. And I do.
Yeah.
There's a nice RSPB raid place around here. Should we go and have a look at that? There's a nice museum.
That's Stuart used to be like. Stuart used to go, we'd be on tour, and Stuart wanted to go and walk up mountains and stuff,
yeah,
like that.
Yeah, I'm with him.
Oh, God.
And you didn't?
No, I just want to lie in the hotel room watching telly all afternoon.
Yeah.
Well, you know, sleep.
No, you can't do that. Oh. I'm up at like 7 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah.
Walking boots on. Checking out the new museums.
Which is your...
There are some good ones.
I'm quite obsessed with especially UK-based museums and tourist attractions. So what is your favourite museum?
There's a very good one. I don't know if it's still there now, but in Cornwall, it's filled with them. The Witchcraft Museum. Has anyone been to the Witchcraft Museum?
Yes.
It's amazing, isn't it? It's incredible. It's obviously run by a pervert. You go in, it says, a sexy pair of stockings that we used in a ceremony. A sexy stiletto. And then there's photographs of the proprietor with his witches, naked, dancing around a fire.
It's good to have a museum of what you love, isn't it? That's nice. That's nice that you get. Cornwall used to be a part of the United Kingdom, for people listening. That's the place that thought we'll go out of Europe. Oh, what, we don't get the money from Europe if we're not in Europe anymore? How are we going to have our sexy museums? It's gonna pay. No one pays to go into that today. I went to the.
What does it say on your T-shirt? I'm the god of tits and wine. And I thought that was me.
That was. Is that some merchandise from the Witchcraft Museum in Cornwall?
It is quite near to that, actually, yeah. You've been there, haven't you? Somewhere near Manchester, there's a hat museum.
Yeah.
Stockport, is it?
I don't know, I haven't been to the hat museum. I've been to the pencil museum in...
I've got my picture, a big picture of me, in the pencil museum in Keswick. Yes. Penrith. Yeah, I'm there.
Yeah. What did you do to get in there?
Just turned up. And looked enthusiastic about 4HB.
I've been there twice. They've never asked to have my photo.
So no, they will do.
There's a
when they know you.
I like it when there's the Shipwreck Museum in Cornwall. I've been to recently, which I mentioned, but it's like
In Hastings.
It's in Charleston in Cornwall as well. The Shipwreck Museum, but there it's very old. I like it when the pencil museum has the same thing. It has a very old thing of a miner going in to get lead for a pencil, wherever they get the pencils. But it's basically been stepped on at some point, and so it's got a crushed it's got a crushed face. But
have you ever been to the Rope Museum?
The Rope Museum?
Yeah.
No, I haven't seen that one.
It's fantastic. Yeah. You can explore the history of hemp and twine.
Have you been to Barometer World?
No, where is it?
It's in the southwest somewhere.
Yeah, they're all a lot of them in southwest and Yorkshire. You get a lot of them.
Barometer World. I'm pretty sure the leaflet for Barometer World, which is all I've seen, says parking for up to 2 cars. It might be.
So
three.
In Barometer World, is it just barometers, or is this is the barometer that struck this man and killed him?
I think it's just not fancy barometers, but there's a lawn gnome museum, isn't there, in...
Yes.
It's up in West Southport, that's right, thank you.
Southwold.
Southport. It has, Brian May's lawnmower and things like that. It's genuine. That's, you would love it. It's like...
Yeah.
I think it's got...
Anyway, when we're on tour, I say...
I want to come on tour with you. It's
and I said that we were leaving Ipswich on our last portion of our tour, and I said, can we go... I've heard that Blackwater is very attractive.
Right.
In Essex.
Yeah.
And we went there. It was the dreariest place. I've ever. And me and the tour manager went for a walk. I made him walk quite a long way. Bob stayed in the van and looked at his phone, which he does all day long. But so I went on this long walk. It was, and I, you know, when you take someone on a long walk and it is really miserable and not worth doing.
Yeah.
And you think, how can I make this better? I'm not going to be able to, am I? Should I just back out? And I said, I'm really sorry. We should turn back now. Because it was awful. Yeah. And I'd love to know some really, I'm sure there are some really good parts of Essex, aren't there? Where?
That's you there. She realised, like many people in Essex, they just say, they give an answer without really thinking what the consequences will be.
I really want there to be good parts of Essex.
Brentwood's nice.
Where?
Brentwood.
Brentwood?
Finchingfield.
Where?
Finchingfield.
Yeah. That's in Hobbit land, isn't
Look,
it?
They're all coming out now, aren't they? All coming out of the woodwork.
Yeah.
People are barking out answers. Barking out answers.
Oh, good. Well, when Bob was here, he talked about... Oh, there's I would like to hear this story from your point of view, but I think it was when you were filming Catterick, I think, if I believe, that unbeknown, without saying anything, you came out as your character dressed as really the Yorkshire Ripper. Yeah. That was the costume choice you made for the series?
Yeah, it was.
What led you to thinking your character should look like the Yorkshire Ripper?
Well, it's when you get in. I think the way to find a character is you get in the wig box.
Yeah.
So I got in the wig box and I got this nice big round sort of afro.
Yeah.
Which was a start. And I thought, no, I look like Quincy Jones. And that's not right.
Yeah.
I didn't look like Quincy Jones, but I had that kind of vibe, you know. Yeah. So I thought, I'll put a beard on. And I thought, whoa, it's Peter Sutcliffe. And I thought, that's a good enough look for me. But do you know what? I actually served Peter Sutcliffe a cup of tea
once.
Yeah,
I've heard this. Yeah.
When I left school, I went to work in a factory, and my job was to serve tea to the lorry drivers, and apparently Peter Sutcliffe came in and I gave him a cup of tea.
The right tutor of the thing.
I didn't recognise him because it was pre him being convicted or, you know, in the papers, so I didn't know. He was just a lorry driver.
Yeah.
But anyway, so when I did
So
Chris,
in a way you could be blamed for you sustained him with that tea.
It was so yes. When I came up with the character Chris Palmer.
Yeah.
Whose brother was Carl Palmer, who used to be in ELP. And if you look through our history, a lot of our the names of the people are kind of more semi-obscure rock stars.
Right.
Anyway, so Carl Palmer came first, and I was Chris Palmer, and I ended up looking like Peter Sutcliffe.
Yeah. Who you'd serve tea to.
Yeah.
In that, but that, this was, you. I'd heard this story when you were doing, it's a show a bit like this, it's that Alan Davis show where he gets comedians on and they do funny stories. I don't know where they got the idea from, but but you also claimed you'd been eyed up by Dennis Nielsen, were you?
Yes, and very near here, on Old Compton Street, me and my mate Jack were in the Boozer in Old Compton Street, about 300 yards from here, and he said, have you noticed anything about this place? And I said, it's a gay bar. And he went, yeah, but look at that bloke over there. And he was giving us a right old proper eye, like staring his eyeball style.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, a couple of months later, there he was in the front of the paper. And we also got picked up by Fred and Rosemary West.
Yeah.
And I'm not kidding, we did. We were coming back from Glastonbury Festival, the first Glastonbury Festival, and we were hitchhiking, and my mate Jack said, he says, not only that, do you remember that weird couple that picked us up? in their mini van.
Yeah.
And
do you think it's something about you that turns these people to, they meet you, they're going to kill several people?
When I was a youth, I was gorgeous. And I was always getting chatted up by men.
Right.
When I was young.
Not so gorgeous. Fred and Rose threw you back, didn't they? So that's...
I was discharged, yeah.
I was once picked up... Because it's weird, you people used to hitchhike all the time, right? When you were teenagers. No one would do that. Not teenagers wouldn't do that now. But I once got a lift from, like, Bristol to Reading with a couple where the bloke was sitting in the front seat and the woman was sitting in the back seat.
That was Fred and Rose.
It could be. They didn't say a single word to each other that 2-hour drive. I sat in the front with the guy and they'd just pick me up and say thanks and then
didn't
say a word to me. It was
all
terrifying.
Day long, it would be hitchhiking everywhere you went.
Yeah.
I went hitchhiking. We were in the pub on a Friday night and I said, let's see if we can get round the country. You got a London, Bristol... And then back.
Yeah.
And then get back here by Sunday night. And you have to, in those days, send a postcard. But just to prove that you were there.
Yeah.
And we did it.
I mean, you think about it. If you hitchhike for a while, statistically, you're likely to meet quite a few serial killers. And they're mainly lorry drivers. And
there was a lot more around
them. There
were. And also, another hitchhiking trip I did was over to the Lake District. From Darlington over to the Lake District. And I got stopped, and I had hair that was down to here. It was very. This was in the mid to late 70s. Yeah. I had long, very long hair.
Yeah, your head hair was this.
And my head hair. Yeah. Okay. What were you thinking I was talking about?
Your nipple hair could have come down to there.
Yeah, my nipple hair came down to there. Now I had long hair.
Yeah.
And I got stopped by the coppers.
Yeah.
And you know, like. NWA. Have you seen Straight Outta Compton? It was like that. Motherfucker! I was like that. I said, so I was saying, but I got pulled up. I was only getting pulled up by the coppers because I had long hair.
Yeah.
And he says, I've got you on record. He says, you were in the army and you've done a runner from the army.
Right.
I went, and he kept me there, took me into the cop shop, and interviewed me and all that. And you know, yeah. So I can really feel what they're talking about in Straight Outta Compton.
Good. You went. Would you do your apprenticeship at Newton Aycliffe? Is that where you?
Newton Aycliffe. Yeah.
Did you ever go to the stock car racing at the Aycliffe Stadium?
No, I didn't.
No, okay. Just thought I'd research.
I didn't even. The first time I've ever heard about it.
That's all that there was in the town. So I thought you might have done it.
What Newton Aycliffe was a really grim town.
Yeah.
Yeah, nothing happens in Newton Aycliffe.
You're not even mentioned on the Wikipedia page. I'm surprised about that. They have notable people who lived and worked there.
What, in Newton Aycliffe?
They don't know you were there.
I didn't live there.
Well, but you worked there, didn't you?
I worked there,
That's enough for the Wikipedia people.
I think someone famous did come from Newton Aycliffe.
There were some.
Do you know who it is?
Find out next week. Who is it? There was someone. I did see a few names there, but I can't remember.
All right.
I can't remember.
Does Mark Gatiss ring a bell?
Oh, is he from there?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't know.
He's from Newton Aycliffe, the shittiest town in Britain.
So it's
not really, no, it's just a little new town.
Yeah, it's not. Middlesbrough's the shittiest town in Britain.
Well, yeah, but imagine Middlesbrough on a smaller scale.
So, I'll ask you an emergency question. There's some stuff I wanted to ask you about your...
Emergency question.
I feel like I've floundered. Because I've been poked in the eye by my daughter, and on Thursday night I had 90 minutes sleep. So, for some reason... why do we have frozen peas? That's one of my new emergency questions. Why do we have frozen peas?
I'm a massive fan of frozen peas. I'm also a massive fan of fresh peas.
Wow.
TV snacks.
Yeah.
All right. Evening TV snacks. I have celery and hummus. Anyone else? Does anyone do celery and hummus for an evening tea? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm surprised that...
Coronation Street with celery and hummus is my greatest pleasure.
Do you know YouGov? They have a web page where they have, like, comedians and things and they do a typical fan of those things. And my typical fan on YouGov, their favourite food is hummus. So we've just proven that. I don't have any fans in tonight, right. Or that is...
Who likes hummus?
Unbelievable.
Who likes hummus?
But who's it?
Yeah,
who's
it's quite popular,
food?
Isn't it?
Whose favourite food is hummus? Just hummus without his own. No one. You put celery with it. That doesn't count.
I'll have hummus with any. I'll put hummus on anything.
But would you eat just hummus?
Without, yeah.
Would you just
every day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I'm not kidding. Hummus, celery. But anyway, so peas. That's our TV snack now. Mm. In the past, it has been a bowl of fresh garden peas.
That's nice.
And a Magnum. And I'm not kidding there either.
No.
That's what it would be. When you have your Magnum, and then you settle things down, and then you have your peas.
Have your peas after the Magnum.
But
surely peas are the main course, and the Magnum's the pudding.
Peas after. It's got to always be the peas later.
Aren't they affected by the ice cream and chocolate taste in your mouth?
No, you do your Magnum. Yeah. I'm going way back in time now. TV snacks a long time ago.
Yeah.
But anyway, no, peas. I love peas. Fresh peas. Yeah.
But
frozen,
why are they
frozen peas?
Why do we only have... That's the only main vegetable that you mainly eat frozen. And you should eat frozen peas as a snack.
Yeah, they're better.
Longer.
But they never end up as crisp as the fresh peas.
Eat them frozen.
No, they're never as good. I've had it. Don't worry. I've done it many a time.
Why don't the other vegetables get, you either have fresh vegetables or, that's the weird...
You can use a frozen vegetable as a lolly for a child.
Yeah.
And it does work. Frozen broccoli to a little child is a lolly.
Yeah.
And it works. You'll know this.
I'll try it.
You'll find this out in about 2 years' time.
Right.
That, yes, it does work.
Yeah. They're stupid, aren't they, children? What's the worst thing one of your children's done to you? My child poked me in the eye and it hurt for... The first time she did it, it hurt for, 3 days. It's because they've got very sharp little nails, haven't they? So they go in and they kind of...
I've had that as well. I've had my eye ripped open by my children.
Yeah.
All of them. And the last time was... A couple of weeks ago, by my 23-year-old.
Wow.
No.
I'll ask you another emergency question. That was a new emergency question.
I like the question about peas.
Yeah, it's a good question. Why, though? Why do we only have frozen peas?
Why do you mean, why do we only have... We don't have only have frozen
only
peas.
Frozen. My wife asked me, and it's a good question, because there are other frozen...
If you're going to Waitrose, you can get fresh peas.
You can, but you usually don't have fresh peas, and you usually do have fresh everything.
I don't. I have fresh peas. I like the fresh peas.
You live in a different world to most of these people.
Going back to this,
and Magnums.
Now, here's an interesting thing. When you have your... settle down. This is my evening. Coronation Street. Doubler. Best night of the week. I'll do that. If there's a nice drama on, I'll have that. But all the time, I've got my celery and hummus.
Yeah.
And then at about 10:30, we make a cup of chamomile.
Yeah, it's nice.
Because we go to bed at 11. I'm giving far too much away here. But I get up to make the chamomile... And all of a sudden, there's the biggest fart you've ever... And it's the fibre from the celery and the hummus builds up like some kind of time bomb. And at 10:30, if you put some sort of camera in our house, some kind of camera...
It's like the klaxon of a factory going
off. And I'm telling you, it's not just me.
Yeah. And then it's time for bed.
It's fascinating.
Yeah.
It gets bigger and more brutal. When we go up to brush our teeth, there's a terrible... Ferrari.
Yeah.
Maybe you should stop eating celery with hummus. That might be the...
No, because we don't mind.
No.
Because we're linked.
Have you ever seen a ghost?
Yeah.
What? Tell me about that.
I think I have. When I used to be in a band in the 70s and we used to rehearse in it was an old woodworking shop, which was ancient. Yeah. That doesn't matter. Ghosts aren't always ancient. But it was terrible. We'd be rehearsing, and then all of a sudden, a plank of wood flew off this table. It was, and I'm not kidding, I don't believe in ghosts, but this happened. This is weird. It flew off. Then we ran outside, and a big egg-shaped ball thing came out in front of my very eyes. And then we went to the pub, and we all saw it, and the other two, it was a trio, the other two, we were like Cream. So I was the bass player, I'm Jack Bruce. So Ginger Baker and Eric Clapton ran out. I went, you won't fucking believe what we just saw. We saw a spectre. It emerged and flew through the air. And I was kind of cool about it, but I did see it.
Yeah. What do you think it was?
Gas.
Have you been eating a lot of celery and hummus?
That could have been where it started, just where like it stemmed from.
A spark went up.
Come to think of it, that was a time I was very keen on asparagus.
So let's get back to the proper questions. Those were not proper questions. Those were just to distract you. I'd like to know about the Fashionable Five, because was this a group of friends who just did...
Well, we were in the time of... I was in the... Well, let me just take you back. Please, to when I was in the band when we saw The Ghost.
Yeah, that's what I was.
That was a band that we used to play music that sounded a bit like King Crimson.
Oh, yeah.
And then all of a sudden, punk rock turned up, so I got very excited about that. And so I left all that behind, and we were the only punk rockers in town. And it was a new emergence of great feeling. It was about clothes and art and everything, and not about music. And I thought, this is what the youth should be about. So I was 16, 17. And it was all, and so we had this group, a gang of us called the Fashionable Five. We also used to wear yellow jumpers and black trousers and make bad. It was just an art group.
Yeah, yeah. You did, what's the thing about Terry? It says on Wikipedia that you followed a Terry Scott lookalike around.
Yeah, well, it was all about having fun, really. So there was a bloke who looked like Terry Scott.
Yeah.
In Darlington, and we followed him around in a single file, in our uniforms.
And was he in on it, or were we just annoying him?
He knew we were, after, I don't know, about 5 or 6 weeks, he kind of got it.
Yeah.
And said, will you stop following me around?
Were you shouting Terry Scott-based things at him to make, or talking about
curly
words?
No, just following him, silently.
He used to advertise Curly Whirlies. Do you remember Terry Scott advertising Curly Whirlies?
No.
Oh. I think about him every time I eat a Curly Whirly, which is more often than you would imagine.
But did you not do things like that when you were a youth?
Not exactly. We did, I've mentioned this before, but Don Estelle, the real one, not a lookalike, came to Woolworths in Western Supermare, and we went up and pretended to be excited in a sarcastic way, and then he flicked the V's at us.
Was he selling cassettes?
He was,
for 50p?
Yeah.
Yeah. He did it in Lewisham.
He did it everywhere. It's sort of tragic. We have talked about this. I've talked about this quite a lot, but he did travel around the country to Woolworths selling cassettes out of a bag right around the country.
That's
dressed,
nice.
Dressed in his pith helmet.
Yeah. It's nice, though, isn't it?
No. Terrible thing.
Look at that.
So what have you done? You were mentioning this backstage. You've injured yourself.
I jumped over a fire.
Yeah.
A bonfire. And I missed it.
Don't jump over fires. Yeah, there's a point where you have to stop. How big was the fire?
It was quite big. It was quite high.
You're lucky to have come away with just a mild.
I know. I never jump over. Don't do it.
Yeah.
I used to do it a lot. I used to blow fire, you know.
Did you?
Yeah, you know, you take some petrol in.
Yeah.
Do that.
Yeah. It's yeah, not as good without the actual fire, is it?
Don't work without the fire, but I used to... And when I was a kid, I used to do beck jumping. We used to jump over the becks.
Okay, what is a beck?
A river, think? Small yeah. river, fire jumping. That was when I was young.
Yeah. I've walked on fire. That's you can do that.
Yeah, I've done that.
Yeah, I mean, it's easy,
yeah.
Isn't it?
I don't mind doing that now and then.
But if you fall over into it, then that will hurt you.
I was at Jeff Beck's party on right. Saturday, and there was a fire, and I thought, I can jump over that, and yeah. I couldn't.
Did you try and jump over Jeff Beck as well, though? That's you're talking about Beck jumping to fire. That's the problem.
No, don't do it.
No.
Well, it's you can no, I, yeah, no. I'm going to say, do it. Yeah, have a crack
have a
at it. You have a go at it.
What's the worst thing?
If you fall in, you end up burning your arms.
How badly burnt are you?
Pretty badly burnt. Yeah.
Yeah. Probably don't do it. If you're over 50, don't do it. Is that would that be?
Well,
the...
I don't know. I mean, no. It was just I tripped over a log and misjudged it.
Be a sad way to die. I sort of worry about dying in a pathetic or stupid way. That's kind of a sad way to die. Tripping Vic Reeves today was killed falling into a fire.
I mean, I'm accident prone
yeah.
throughout my entire life.
Yeah.
Because of doing stupid things.
Yeah.
Mainly.
But you're still here at the moment. So far, no Rahulastapur guest has died. So far, Bob's the closest we've had. So far, and
well,
this year,
you know,
this
you might be nearer than you think.
This year, so yeah, I think it could be. If you want your guest on this show, you become immortal. That could be the case because you'd think when all the celebrities who've died, it's kind of spooky.
I've been so close to death recently.
I
came off my bike and went under a tractor the other day, and it is. I really scraped my arse up.
See, I think any way that you... If you die in an accident, it's going to be... Just be
it's going to be pretty dramatic.
Vic Reeves today died falling off his bike in front of a tractor. People will laugh at that because of all the...
Whilst he was trying to jump over a fire.
So, it's, you know, that's it's going to be different. You're going to have to die as an old man in your bed. Otherwise, people will laugh.
No, that is never going to happen.
No. Well, don't die.
No, all right, I'll try and... Keep that at bay. For,
yeah, don't get that. I was listening to you on Desert Island Discs with Sue Lawley. Do you remember doing that?
Yes.
I felt Sue Lawley didn't particularly care for you.
Do you know what? There's a book that is Desert... My son, Louis, is 18.
Yeah.
And he, at school, when he was a couple of years ago, they did Desert Island Discs. And his teacher played my Desert Island Discs.
Yeah.
And there's a book out and... Mine isn't in it. And I want to know why, because it was very honest.
It was honest. It was good. I felt she... Did you not pick up that she was kind of... I thought she was a bit sneery and superior to you. She seemed to like you right at the end, but she was like, oh, did people find that funny?
I think
funny?
She thought I was trying to be poncy, but right. I wasn't.
No. I thought she was poncy.
I like Henry Cow.
Yeah.
I like some very complicated and weird... jazz stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's all right, isn't it?
It is all right. Well, that's the point of the program. It's better than...
So I said to her, fuck you, Lawley. And she, maybe that's what she
that
took offence to.
That might be why you're not in the book. If you got a list of five celebrities, with me and my wife, I have a list of five celebrities I'm allowed to have sex with if I...
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And she has one in turn.
If you what?
Well, if I were to meet them and they agreed to have sex with me.
I've always had trouble with this.
Yeah.
It would... because I can't... I really don't find that many people that attractive.
Really? Okay.
I would say... Can I go into the past?
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Sylvia Sims when she was young and not now. Claire Bloom when she was young and not now.
Yeah. I like mine are mainly CBeebies based now because I spend all my, you know, waiting till you hear.
Whoa. Yeah, be careful where you go.
No, it's all right. They're all adults, all puppets. So it's all right. I've mentioned this, but I've mentioned Vanilla from Thurchester Hotel, who's an
Pingu.
Adult puppet. Someone else. Oh, it's Topsy and Tim's mum. I like. She's nice. And my new one, who I'm kind of obsessed with, is Rebecca, who's one of the hosts of CBeebies, but is also in a show called Let's Play, where she dresses up in lots of costumes. I tell you, I am considering if Rebecca is listening or watching, I will happily leave my wife and daughter. It'd be weird because I watched your show with my daughter. I'm not weird, so it'd be weird to go. I'm happy to leave that family behind, but blimey, Ed.
Yeah. I'll leave that there.
So they're on the list now. She's a new one. Don't think my wife minds. I don't think my wife
does. She mind?
My wife chooses people like who just look like me anyway. So she's,
you have these conversations.
Yeah. She Sawyer from Lost. Exactly. Why go for Sawyer from Lost?
Who?
That's exactly Sawyer from Lost. He's kind of chiseled guy. She likes that guy from The Walking Dead. Which, you know the guy, I mean. Not the teacher, not the egg.
Daryl,
that's right, yeah. So you'd know, mate. That's
who's Daryl from Walking Dead?
Daryl's kind of, he looks like me, doesn't he? He's exactly like me. Slightly less fit than I am. So, she's wasting her time doing that. But I just worry she's just thinking about them when she's with me. That's why, because I'm so like them. You're a fan of Un Chant Andalus by Louis Buñuel? No?
I am, yes.
Yeah.
How do you know that?
Well, because I've researched it very thoroughly, and that film I saw when I was 4 years old. So that's very much in my psyche, because I saw twice the clip where he's chasing around and then he grabs her.
You saw it when you were...
I saw it when I was a little kid. It was on, like, Open University. It's
more than, like, Large Door and Chant Andalus.
Yeah.
What I like is the comedy element of that.
Yeah.
When the Spanish bloke's trying to get hold of the Andalusian, and he's trying to grab him.
Yeah.
Has anyone ever seen these films?
It's unlikely. There's a bit.
They were made in 1923.
Yeah, Salvador Dali was involved in some.
Yeah. Louis Buñuel.
Yeah, Louis Buñuel. But you shouldn't really show them to 4 year olds because it's affected my psyche.
I don't think there's no point in talking about. There's a really good channel called Talking. Is it called Talking Pictures? Anyone know that?
Go ahead. Blow a minute. My audience has really got much thicker, I have to say. Or just people in the UK have got thicker. I think that's probably the case. Because in the early series, we'd be talking about this and people go, oh, yeah.
Watch what I do. Watch this. It's really controversial. Is that controversial now?
Let's not say what it is so the people in the audio are really freaked out.
What's your favourite film of all time?
Of all time. I Spinal Tap, I think, is my favourite. I like comedy films, so Spinal Tap and Life of Brian. What about you? Are you all into more arts? If you like Coronation Street.
I do, and I love Coronation Street. And so my favourite film of all time is Saturday Night and Sunday Morning.
Okay.
Or It Always Rains on Sunday. And I think you don't get films like that now. Oh, an awful thing to say, isn't it? I tell you, I went to see the other day what's it called? Independence Day.
Oh, yeah.
What a stinker! It's ripe.
Yeah.
Well, it's absolutely rotten.
Yeah.
The final line that he says is, we're going to kick your ass. No, aliens, we're going to kick your ass.
Yeah. The aliens say, we don't have asses.
Scientist.
We don't have asses, we're aliens. We excrete blocks through our armpits.
It's terrible. I like films like Saturday Night, Sunday Morning.
All films are just that, you know, mainly action and superheroes now.
I'm not that bothered about action.
No.
I like really dreary films. Films where families have a bit of trouble. Spring and port wine. Get in.
Loneliness of the Lost.
Does anyone know Spring and Port Wine?
Yeah, get one bloke.
Exactly! Isn't it? Is it now? Eat your kipper. You don't leave this table till you finish that kipper.
That's a fit, you're right. That is better than I'm going to kick your ass.
Don't let the bastards grind you down. What? That's not, it's from Saturday Night, Sunday Morning. The classic line, thank you.
It's from Porridge. It's all falling apart. I tell you, Jim, it's a terrible world. You kind of went to art school, but you didn't really, didn't get into art school, but you went anyway.
I went to art school. I went to Whitechapel.
Oh, did you? Yes, okay.
And then when I left, I'd done quite a lot of shows.
Yeah.
And I tried to get into Goldsmiths, and they wouldn't let me in. They said, you've done too much.
Right.
So I just went anyway.
It's kind of weird that more people don't
I signed on and went to art school.
Because they don't check, do they, that you're... Well, if people are going to lectures, they don't generally take a
No, register. I was just in there. I just went. I thought, I want to do it, and no one's going to fucking stop me.
It's good. That's a good... If you can't get in somewhere, just go anyway. It's quite... I'm pretty sure Tim Key did something more or less similar. Tim Key wasn't really at Cambridge, but he just went and joined in all the stuff and got in the Cambridge Footlights. Why don't more people do that? It's a much cleverer way of doing it.
Yeah, it is. And I learned all the stuff I wanted to know, because I just wanted to know.
So, your art is almost... I've seen your quote saying the art's more important to you, or that everything, all your comedy is sort of art as well.
It is art. Yeah. That's all I did. When I left art school, I went and did The Big Night Out, which I thought was just really a performance piece, like Gilbert and George.
Yeah.
And that's all it was.
But it is. I think that's interesting that a lot of comedy. Especially a lot of the kind of 80s comedy, which you were. I knew you were doing your own thing with the down in Deptford and everything, weren't you? Really, but there was a lot of acts in the 80s who were doing really bizarre things, like melting ice for that. There was a guy called the Iceman who just lay on a big block of ice until it melted.
Yeah, but we weren't doing comedy. I didn't know anything about comedy.
No.
What we did when we did The Big Night Out was just do my representation of what I thought television should look like.
Yeah. But that stuff like that doesn't get on anymore. I mean, it is really interesting that someone with both the stuff you do with Bob is a very individual vision, and like that comes from you. And you were telling me backstage at Big Night Out, you didn't even tell the producer or the director what was happening. You just said, point the cameras over there.
Yeah,
didn't know what was going to
happen. No, we were really quite strict about it. We said, you don't know what we're doing. You point the cameras. We're going to be here. We'd never do any rehearsal or anything.
Yeah.
And so this is what's going to happen. You're just going to have to catch us.
It's like
you'd never get away with it nowadays.
No,
but we've just got commissioned to do a sketch show next year for the BBC. And I said, that's what I want to do again. And I kind of still think it's a piece of art if I say, we're going to do a show on this stage here.
Yeah.
You're going to have to catch it.
Well, you need good cameramen. Don't employ any of these guys. But that's interesting. You're basically essentially doing Big Night Out again now. Is that the plan?
I think we're doing something like that, yeah. Because the BBC want to do a sketch show. And we went for a meeting this afternoon. And I think, that's what we're going to do.
Yeah.
Because that's what I like doing. I like the natural element of it as well, where you don't really know what's going to happen.
Yeah.
And also the making it up on on the spot,
yeah,
kind of thing.
Well, it's exciting, and I think we had David Cross on last week, who did a sketch.
David Cross, who was the violinist in King Crimson.
It is him, yeah. And people didn't really know who he was, mainly. It was weird. He did a show called Mr. Show when he was a younger guy, and then he's done a show with Netflix with Bob Odenkirk. And it's kind of interesting to go back to sketches as a more middle-aged man. Do you think, or middle-aged performer?
I don't know. I mean,
I know you've sort of been doing stuff all the way through, but
I've got little notebooks and I write down sketches, which may be 4 seconds all day long. I wrote one down last night for my kids. I thought they might be interested in this. And so it's a, what do you call it, a lumberjack? And he goes, Timber! Burton! And he chops the tree down and Tim Burton's behind him, behind the tree. Which is a 4 second sketch. So there's always time for little sketches like that.
Yeah. But it's good to still be coming up with this stuff, you know. I think it's
every day. Yeah. I've got notebooks. I was looking at my notebooks the other day and it's like piles and piles of them. Full of absolute dregs, but some...
what do you think the hit rate is between... Because, I mean, a lot of your stuff... people, I think, sometimes look at surreal comedy and think, oh, that's easy, that's just saying...
But it's not surreal.
Well, but, you know, that kind of thing. I know it isn't exactly, but, and I think they're incorrect, because it's actually harder to do it, I think, to do it properly, because it isn't just about picking two things and putting them together. It's cleverer than that, right?
Well, surreal suggests that it's dreamlike.
Yeah.
It's like metaphysical, isn't it? And it's not. It's what we do is just... You know what I'm talking about. It's, you know, it's not surreal. That's just an easy way out.
No, of course. But so, I mean, that's how people describe it, and incorrectly. And I think some people are dismissive of that as well.
That Tim Burton.
Yeah.
That's not surreal, is it?
No.
That's just a play on words. And a vision. So it's a surreal vision that you chop a tree down and Tim Burton's behind it.
Yeah.
But it's not, you know...
But it takes a certain brain to... You know,
let's just say it's stupid.
Well, yeah. I'm saying, no, it is artistic and it's interesting, but there's a vision... Well, you know, I was talking to Bob about this as well, but a lot of the sketches you've done together with Bob just have these intricate details of stupid little things on shoulders and heads that you only don't... You know, beards that are oddly shaped or whatever.
Yeah.
You don't notice the first time you look at them.
I think it's very important visually. Yeah. Everything's got to be visually right.
Yeah.
Because your first laugh you're going to get is visually.
Yeah.
Before you get any funny lines. So you've got to have a funny-looking character.
Yeah.
That's a really moronic thing to say, isn't it?
But also, that's something you can't, you know... You've got to have that naturally. I think a lot of the pictures I see of you just see a picture of you and you laugh at it because it's you dressed in a skin-tight leotard with whatever's going on, sitting on a unicorn or whatever. The fact is, you are funny, whereas if I did it, I don't think it would be that funny.
Well, I don't know. Right. I've seen you... You were doing this, you know, in the early 90s, and Stuart were doing similar kind of things, weren't you?
I suppose, but I think a lot of it is... It's a very...
What were you? You were like... The idiot, and he was the clever bloke.
We were both kind of idiots, but I was the very idiotic.
Yeah. So it's the same with Bob and me.
Yeah.
He's an idiot, and I'm a bit more idiotic.
But there's the Vic Reeves character is a character.
Do you know what? It's a nice thing to do that, isn't it? Because you don't get it now. They're all clever. No one's prepared to be the idiot. Who will be prepared to be the moron in this duo? You and Stuart said we'll both be the morons. And so did Bob and me.
Yeah, well, you know, but I think I think you don't care about how people view you, so you don't. I think you were saying you were saying to Sue Lawley, the laugh is the important. You don't care if people are laughing at you or with you or whatever.
Yeah, I don't care. No.
So, and I think that's the, you know, that's a true comedic. That's a clown within you, isn't it? And that's your clown.
It's all getting very deep now, isn't it?
It is. Yeah, yeah. I like it. Why did you bury an Austin A40 Somerset in your garden?
Because I did a. There was a documentary done about in 1992. There was a documentary about us, and they said, we want something to hinge it on. And I said, well, I've always, this car has really pissed me off. And I'd really like to bury it in a field.
Right.
So, is that a possibility? And they did it. And the driver who had the digger...
I thought there was a driver in the car. See, that was a bad part for someone.
It was about, I don't know, 9 or 10 in the morning.
Right.
And his breakfast was 8 cans of lager. He's dead now.
And are you ever going to dig the car? Did the car stay where it is? Is it in
no,
the garden or is it in the field?
I sold my house. It was at the bottom of a big field,
right.
27 acres.
Right.
Big field. It was right down the bottom. I sold the house to Lily Savage.
Did you?
Paul O'Grady.
Yeah.
You might know him as now. And he apparently has covered the whole thing up with turf.
Right.
So you cut, there's no evidence of it at all.
Oh, so
it was sticking out. The front bonnet of it was sticking out. That was I was trying to make a statement like it was, this is, you know, like a new monolith.
Right, okay.
And he's covered it up so no one can see, because he didn't like people looking at it.
You can't, you know, that's, if you, it's like when you leave your pets buried. You can't, if you've left buried your pets in the garden, you can't ask the person, next person to respect that. It's the same thing.
Yeah, I mean, you know, why bother covering that up? It was a striking piece of...
It seems a shame.
Yeah.
I would have thought he would like that. You lived in Tom Baker's house as well, didn't you?
I bought... I was doing... when we were filming Randall and Upkirk, I spent a long time working with Tom.
Right.
And a long time in a blue screen studio. You call it green screen now, but it was blue screen then. But 240 degrees. It was ridiculous. It was hot. And I'm stuck in this green screen studio with Tom for like 3 weeks. We filmed a lot of other stuff, but he lived quite near me, so we'd come home at night and he said, Jim, why don't you come home? Sue will make you a lovely supper. So I'd go home with him, because he lived about a mile away from me, and he'd organise, this is at like 10:30, 11 at night, a full three-course meal. Sue's a marvellous cook, isn't she? So anyway, I ended up buying Tom's house.
Do you think he was buttering you up to say, if we can bring him round enough and make him eat enough food,
and
he'll end up buying the house?
But it was an old schoolhouse, and next to it was a graveyard. And he had a grave. He said, "So Jim, come and look at this. This is my grave." And it was a grave that had Tom Baker. 1928, whenever he was born.
Yeah.
Two. And I said, but you haven't got the 19 on it.
Well, he's kept going.
Anyway, this was, this was in 1998. Anyway, so I bought his house.
Have you got
him.
The gravestone as well? Or does he take that with
no,
him?
No, then I moved back to the house that I lived in before.
Okay.
I got rid of it.
Oh.
And Tom went off to Toulouse, to live in Toulouse.
Did he?
Tom Baker. And like, I used to be wandering around Ashford, and you go to Sainsbury's, and at the other side of right at the other side of Sainsbury's, the far side, you'd say, what sort of cheese is that? And you'd hear it from Mars, oh, fucking hell, Tom's in here, I'm clearing off. He came out of my house once. And this is before I moved into his house. He was in my house, and it was a house I had before, and I was just getting it done up. And there was the front room was a mess. And he came in and he said, Jim, that room looks like my mind.
He's very extraordinary. He's still cracking on. It's amazing. We worked with him in one of our first radio shows was Lionel Nimrod's Inexplicable World, and he played Lionel Nimrod, which was mainly a voiceover part, but in the last episode he came into the studio. It was in the Paris studios before it got turned into, I think it's a swimming pool now down there. But it was this beautiful old studios, and I just remember him. We're sitting in this lovely dressing room with the Paris studios, and our producer came in, who was quite a sort of 25-year-old woman, but quite a forthright and you know, feminist and strong producer. And he said, "Look at her coming here with her tits all sticking out," and she just had to pretend she hadn't heard him, basically. Because otherwise,
I could tell you worse stories than that.
I'm sure. Sticking her tits out, this was in.
Yeah.
Lovely man. So, he's the best Doctor Who.
He is.
Definitely the best Doctor Who.
He's a good friend of mine, and he's, his stories, if you could only tell them.
They made me.
And he comes up with them, like you wouldn't believe, like you think. I don't know if there's any I could tell. holes in trees, ex-girlfriends.
let's not. Okay, I've got some. Emergency questions now. We'll go. I've got some newer ones as well. I've nicked some questions off the internet because so many people nick my questions. I've decided to nick some back. Ali's Randomage asks, have you ever flown a kite?
No, I haven't.
No, well, that's interesting. That tells us a lot about the kind of person you are. If you could jump into a pool of something, what would it be?
I like soft stuff.
Yeah.
So...
So thinking, not kind of jagged edge.
Can you really? Can you get primula? A lot of primula going on there.
Yeah, we can do that for you.
I could do. That's just about the right kind of texture.
Do you think
that I would endeavour to leap into?
Do you worry about getting stuck in that kind of? Do you think it's?
What do you mean? Well, would
quite,
it suck
it's
me
quite
in?
Solid. It's solid-ish, isn't it? No, maybe not.
I don't know. I mean,
it would suck you in like a
Do you think you'd get sucked off by the?
I think you might get sucked off by the primula to another dimension. Okay, I'll ask you another emergency question: should penis transplants be allowed?
What?
Should penis transplants be allowed? They can transplant penises now, and should that be
really?
Allowed? Yeah.
Yeah, I'd enjoy one from a baboon. I've heard the very long and slender. And actually a pig's penis.
Yeah, it's curly.
It's got the curl on it. Yeah. I used to, when I was a youth, I went to work on a pig farm, and one of my jobs was to encourage the boar. So I would have to get on the back of a sow and sit on the back and go like that. And if she didn't move, I would introduce the boar, whose curly penis.
Yeah.
Was like very much like a corkscrew. It was where people got the idea for a corkscrew from. Do you know baboons do, when they're having sex, when they reach a climax?
Yeah, very, very shy about this.
They do a very human, like... sigh.
I was in
South Africa on a game reserve, and he's gone. You see them baboons? He says when they come, they do it. It really sounds like a human. And I heard it, and I didn't stop laughing for an hour. It's the funniest thing you've ever heard in your life.
I'll look out for that. you might not know. You might have had, you know, if they come in from behind, you might think I've had sex with a human, and it turns out it's a baboon. This is a new one. Have you ever been attacked by an animal?
No.
No.
Not that I'm aware of.
Okay. Have you ever been in the vicinity of a Bigfoot, but not seen it, but sensed it there watching?
Now, I watch all the Bigfoot shows.
Yeah.
When there's nothing left on television,
yeah,
I immediately go to Nat Geo, or, you know, one of the looking for the Bigfoot shows.
Yeah.
And I think they're probably just some hillbillies. Are they not?
Well,
big hairy hillbillies?
The, Tony Law, the only coherent thing I got out of him for... was that they're bears. They're just bears, and they look... because they stand on the... and I saw a picture of a bear this week standing on its pine legs, and it walks around...
We were... I was in Los Angeles in 1992 with Bob and the Wonder Stuff, and yep, we went off to the Grand Canyon. We went up through Phoenix, and we stopped for a piss stop.
Yep.
And it was in the middle... You know you get those big sprouts that have... of earth that come out, you know, like in that you get in those countries.
Yeah.
In Arizona.
Yeah, okay.
You know those big things. We're right in the middle of that, and we all stopped for a slash, and there was this thing that went.
You think it was a Bigfoot?
I don't know. What was it?
I don't know if they have them in Arizona.
It went like that.
Yeah.
But this was not a bear, because it was out in the middle of nowhere.
Was there a baboon and ejaculating?
I don't know. We called it the Grunter, and we went off to Phoenix and did drawings of it in a sports bar.
I mean, that's the closest we've got to a yes for that question. So, I'm annoyed that I rephrased it. Which celebrity death in 2016 has hit you the hardest? Because there's been a lot of celebrity deaths this year.
Was there?
Yeah.
Well, Deirdre Barlow, I suppose, but that was probably last year, wasn't it?
Last year, yeah. Can't have her. Anne Kirkbridge. She wasn't...
Kirkbride.
Kirkbride, that's it.
Yeah. I don't know.
How quickly we forget.
I've
been over the loads, actually. I keep on... there have been so many. There's, like, you forget, like, Larry Sanders, Gary Shandling.
Oh, I didn't know he was dead.
Yeah, he died. I'd forgotten, then I suddenly remembered, and I was really sad again. so there's loads of quite significant people.
I don't know. I don't really keep account of them.
No. Is there any celebrities you would like to see die in 2016?
No, I don't want to. It's sad, isn't it?
Yeah.
I don't want to get into that.
Some of them want. Some of them
want. Who do I want to die?
We can.
I'm not going to say.
All right, I'll ask you this. This is a more jolly question. If you had to go for a week's holiday with one of the puppets from Spitting Image, which would you choose, remembering that the puppet would choose the destination?
From the Muppets?
No, from the Spitting Image. What, a Spitting Image puppet?
Do you know, Muppets and Spitting Image, I've got the equal amount of vehemence from. Yeah. I don't like any of them. I can't stand it. It was horrible. There's something, you know, when people say they get a fear of clowns.
Yeah.
I think I might have a fear of... I don't believe that, by the way. But I have a kind of fear of shitty puppets. And I don't... I've never liked the Muppets.
No.
I can't see any enjoyment there.
What about when little Kermit's singing a song?
Oh, fucking freaking turned me.
What about the
horrible
Muppet Christmas Carol? That was good.
It's horrible.
Okay.
It's sinister. And the same thing with Spitting Image. I've never liked that. It turns me off.
Are there any puppets you like, or is it all puppets you don't like?
I liked Thunderbirds and Captain Scarlet when I was a kid.
If you had to go on holiday with one of the characters from Thunderbirds... Captain Black.
Yeah.
I used to love...
I'd go with Captain Black on the Norfolk Broads. And we'd really fuck everyone up.
Why do you like Captain Black the best? He's horrible.
Yeah, I know. But he was great. He was the only... The rest of them were kind of insipid and a bit creepy. And like, ooh, look at me, Captain Scarlet.
What about the girls?
I'm Captain Blue. I'm gay, but you don't know it yet.
Wouldn't you like the angels, whatever they were called in...
The Flying Angels?
Yeah.
They were crap. They were really insipid.
Oh. I loved Captain Scarlet. Looking back at it, it's quite a poor idea for a thing, isn't it? Because he can't die. So every time he dies, you're going to go, yeah, he'll probably be all right. He'll probably be okay. Look, we're coming towards the end, I think.
Good.
Yeah.
What time is it?
It's, oh God, who knows? No, it's not that long. We've only been going an hour or so.
I've got a train to catch.
What time's the train?
9:10.
Oh, you'll be fine. What station's it going from?
St Pancras.
Yeah, you'll be fine. You've got the same birthday as your dad and your granddad and the same name as both of them.
Is that have, yes. My dad and my granddad are all called Jim Moyer, yeah. And we were all born on the 24th of January 1959. It's true.
You hatched in a pod together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And also, I have the same birthday as Jules Holland and Ed Edmondson.
Oh.
And years and years ago, when we did The Tube, we did a picture. It was, I don't know, 1986 or something. We did a picture of us all, because we all got the same birthday, in a photo booth in Newcastle where they used to film The Tube. And that picture I send to Jules and Aid every year.
No.
Saying happy birthday. Look how we've aged. But so me, my dad, my granddad, all the same birthday and all the same name.
Do you feel you should have a son that is born on
but
that
my
day?
My granddad was James Gatherer Smith Moyer.
Oh.
What about that for a name?
It's a gatherer come from.
I don't know.
It's an odd...
Gatherer.
What did he do, your granddad? That sounds like... He sounds like quite well-to-do.
He was a printer.
Was he?
I come from a very weird, strange background, though. That right. My grandfather on my mum's side was... he was the son of... A butler of, let's say it's like Downton Abbey.
Yeah.
He was the son of the butler, head butler there.
Right.
But he got run down and mowed down in an awesome cart by the Lord and Lady.
Indeed.
And nearly killed. And they said to his mum and dad, my great great grandparents, can we bring him up? So they did.
Wow.
And
we
so
he killed himself.
He was brought up aristocratically.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and turned into an outright arsehole. He really did. My mum's told me.
Right.
He was a prick. But really rich. But then lost all his money and...
That's annoying. Yeah. Because I think you've got a little, with a beard, you've got a little look of the royal family from the turn of the...
Well, that's there, you know, it's there. My grandfather used to have to leave, get this, he used to have to leave a half a crown outside George the Fifth's bedroom when he was having it off with one of the maids. He told me that.
Right.
It's true.
Now, George the Fifth having sex with the maids, and he left them some money to give to the maid.
He used to say
to give to George the Fifth.
Well, he used to have to. My granddad used to have to sing for the king as well.
You could just be making all this up.
I'm not making up. I promise
you. Been in a car with Rose West.
Yeah, I've got all the pictures. I've got all the photographs at home to prove it.
Yeah, of George the Fifth.
And the Sixth, yeah.
Yeah.
They're there with my granddad in the picture.
Has he got a pile of coins?
20 pence piece. It would be now.
Yeah, that's... Yeah, when you think of it like that.
With inflation.
Yeah. Well, who knows by the time this goes out how much 20p will be worth. Oh, what a terrible world.
On the other side, there's been Mother's Side.
Yeah.
But they all came from America.
Okay.
They left Ireland and Scotland in, I don't know, the 17th century, went over to Boston, and then ended up making a lot of money doing something with horses. I don't know what. But anyway, then they lost all the money and ended up in New Jersey. Now, Jersey City, in about the early end of the last century, and then came back over to England.
Yeah.
But my grandma is at a New York accent.
Right. You know too much about your family. I'd really like to be on Who Do You Think You Are. Have you done? You haven't done that, have you?
Yeah, I did the pilot on me.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Right.
Because it's fascinating from all angles.
It is. Are you annoyed that they all lost all their money? Because that could have come down to... I suppose by the time it gets to that, it still dissipates, doesn't it?
You know what? It's there.
Well, good. I think we should leave it on that enigmatic note, especially for the people listening at home who are now going, shit, we've got to get to Leicester Square Theatre and start digging up the stage, see if we can find their money. Where did he point? What did he point at? Thanks so much for coming and talking to me. It's been loads of fun. Ladies and gentlemen, Vic Reeves, Jim Moyer. Richard Herring's Leicester Square Theatre podcast with me, Richard Herring, and my guest, Vic Reeves. The music is by Pest. Thank you to everyone at Leicester Square Theatre, to everyone at the Go Faster Stripes, to everyone at the British Comedy Guides. My producer is Ben Walker. He's a fucking idiot. I can tell you that now. And it is a Fuzz, Go Faster Stripe, and Sky Potato production. The sound on this particular credit is by George the Incompetent Town. Thanks for listening. Go to richcharing.com. You can read my blog there. That's another free thing if you haven't got enough free stuff. That's richcharing.com/warming up. I'll be doing various gigs in July, warming up for my new tour, which is called The Best. It's a best of show. Go to richcharing.com/gigs and you can find out if I'm coming near you with that in 2016 and 2017. If you're listening after that time, go and look at richcharing.com/gigs and you'll see what I'm doing now. I may be dead. In which case there will be no gigs there. If you're listening in the very, very distant future, or maybe, you know, who knows what will come. Maybe I'm already dead. Who knows? Oh, no, I'm not. I'm alive at the moment. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Thanks for listening. RichardHerring.com/gigs. GoFasterStripe.com for all my books, downloads, all that sort of shizzle. Oh, yeah, I know all the cool words. And would love to see you on the Can I Have My Ball Back tour if you can make it. Bye.